Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something that's small in principle, but huge in impact. A jungle-style riser enabled in Live 12, controlled creatively with macros. And the big idea here is this. We are not just making a sound to go up. We're designing a transition tool that feels musical, mix-aware, and aggressive in the right way for drum and bass. So whether you're working on jungle, halftime, liquid, or darker rollers, this approach gives you a riser that can evolve with the arrangement instead of just sitting there as a generic sweep. The workflow is going to stay inside Ableton stock devices, which is great because the whole chain is flexible, repeatable, and easy to resample later. We'll build a sound source, shape it with effects, group everything into an instrument rack, and then use macros to control the entire performance of the riser. That means one automation lane can create pitch rise, filter opening, distortion growth, widening, reverb expansion, movement, and final release. Before we touch anything, think about contrast. A great jungle riser feels powerful because the drop after it is tighter, drier, and more focused. So the riser should create size, but the drop should reclaim space. That contrast is what makes the transition hit hard. Let's start with the source. You've got a few strong options here. If you want a tonal, synth-style riser, use Operator. If you want something more modern and aggressive, Wave Eatable works well. If you want texture, noise, metallic movement, or something more old-school and raw, Simpler is a great choice. And if you want grit, Analog is also a solid pick. For this walkthrough, let's imagine an operator-based riser first. Load Operator on a new MIDI track, set Oscillator to a saw wave, and place it at octave 0 or up 1 octave depending on how bright you want the source. Then, if you want a little more thickness, bring an Oscillator B or C very subtly. Keep the level low, maybe way down around negative 18 to negative 24 dB, just enough to add tension and body without turning the sound into a huge wall right away. If you want a little air or hiss, you can add some noise too. Now, if you prefer a texture-based version, load Simpler and pick a noise, reverse cymbal, metallic hit, or even a vinyl-style texture. Turn warp on, keep the filter low pass at the start, and leave yourself room to automate the transposition or playback character later. This kind of source is brilliant for jungle because it feels less like a clean EDM riser and more like part of the break, part of the atmosphere, part of the machine. Next, decide how the MIDI behaves. There are two main styles. The first is a long sustained note. This is the cleanest approach. Write one note that lasts for 8 or 16 bars, and let the automation do all the work. That gives you smooth control and a very deliberate build. The second option is more rhythmic. Write a stepped pattern with short 1/8 or 1/16 notes, and vary the velocities slightly. That gives the riser a more jungle-inspired sense of motion, almost like it's locking into the drum groove rather than floating above it. This is especially good if you want the rise to feel energetic and a little more broken up. Now let's shape the sound with effects. Add EQ 8 first. This is where we keep the riser out of the way of the kick and sub. High pass it somewhere in the 120 to 250 Hz area, depending on how much low junk is in the source. If it starts sounding muddy, take a small dip around 300 to 500 Hz. If you need more presence, a gentle lift in the 6 to 10 kHz range can help. But be careful. In drum and bass, you do not want your riser fighting the bass line. The low end is sacred. Next up, auto filter. This is going to be one of the main movement tools in the rack. Start with a low pass 24 dB filter and keep the resonance in a moderate range, maybe 15 to 30%. You want the filter to open in a way that feels exciting, not shrill. We'll map this to a macro later, and it'll probably become the most important control in the entire rack. Then add saturator. This is what helps the riser feel like it's gaining pressure as it climbs. Start with just a few dB of drive, maybe 2 to 4 dB, and turn soft clip on if needed. This adds urgency and density without instantly blowing up the sound. Again, the goal is tension, not fizz. If you want the riser to feel more unstable or more sinister, add frequency shifter or phaser flanger. Keep this subtle at the beginning. A tiny amount of frequency shifting can create an uneasy, modern wobble. Phaser or flanger can add that whirling, liquid Y-edge. For jungle and darker TNB, this kind of movement can be really effective, especially when it starts almost invisibly and becomes more obvious near the drop. Then add reverb. Hybrid reverb is excellent if you want flexibility, but standard reverb can absolutely do the job too. Use a medium room or hall. Keep the pre-delay somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and set the decay depending on the arrangement, maybe somewhere between 2 and 6 seconds. The big rule here is to keep the reverb low cut so the low end doesn't smear. You want space, but you do not want wash taking over your transition. Finally, add utility. This one is easy to overlook, but it's incredibly useful because it lets you control gain and width from the macros. Width is a very important transition tool. If the riser starts narrow and expands later, the listener feels the arrangement literally open up. That's a powerful psychoacoustic trick. It's not just louder, it feels bigger. Now group the instrument and effects into an instrument rack. Once that's done, bring up the macro section. This is where the lesson becomes really powerful. The trick is not to map randomly. Each macro should have a clear job. Think like a transition designer. Ask yourself what each knob is supposed to do. A strong starting macro layout could look like this. Macro 1 is rise pitch. Map this to the instrument's pitch controls, whether that's operator, wavetable, or simpler transpose. For a 4-bar build, you might map it from 0 to plus 12 semitones. If you want something more dramatic, go to plus 24. But for jungle and DNB, a smaller pitch rise often feels tighter and less predictable than the giant over-the-top EDM climb. Macro 2 is filter open. This should control auto filter cutoff, and maybe a high shelf in EQ8 if you want a little extra top end lift. This is probably the most important perceived motion in the whole rack. The more you open the filter over time, the more the build feels like it's arriving. Macro 3 is drive or dirt. Map this to saturator drive or maybe an overdrive device if you want more bite. Start low and push it harder toward the peak. Just remember, too much distortion can turn excitement into harshness, so keep listening for fizz. Macro 4 is space. Map this to the dry slash wet of the reverb, and possibly the decay if you want the space to get bigger over time. This works beautifully in DNB because the build can feel like it's stepping into a larger room right before the drop lands. Macro 5 is stereo width. Map this to utility width. Start narrow, end wider. This is one of the easiest ways to make the transition feel like it's expanding outward. Just keep an eye on mono compatibility, because if your riser gets too extreme, it can collapse badly and weaken the transition when summed down. Macro 6 is movement. Map this to frequency shifter, phaser flanger, auto pan, or any combination that adds instability or rhythmic motion. This is where the riser starts to feel more alive. It's almost like the sound is accelerating psychologically even if the MIDI rhythm hasn't changed at all. Macro 7 is tension EQ. This could control a high shelf or a gentle top-end lift in EQ8. It helps you brighten the riser gradually without letting it become harsh too early. Macro 8 is output. Map this to utility gain. This gives you a clean way to control the peak of the riser and keep it from punching holes in the mix. If you need the riser to climb, but not jump out of the arrangement too hard, this is a very useful last stage control. Now the fun part. Automation. Take your rack into arrangement view and draw an 8-bar or 16-bar build. You want the motion to feel structured. For an 8-bar rise, you might start with gentle pitch and filter movement in the first 2 bars, then bring in more drive and movement in bars 3 and 4. By bars 5 and 6, widen the stereo image and increase the space. In bar 7, push the filter and saturation harder. Then in bar 8, hit the peak, open the filter fully, push the tension, and cut into the drop with confidence. That last part matters a lot. A riser should not just fade out in a vague way. It should hand off energy. In DNB, a hard cutoff right before the drop can be incredibly effective. You can mute the tail, chop the output, or pull the reverb down sharply for a beat so the drop lands with maximum clarity. The listener feels the vacuum, and then the drums and bass hit through that space. That contrast is everything. If you want to make the riser feel more jungle and less like a generic synth sweep, add rhythmic sequencing. Short 1/16-note triggers with velocity variation can make the rise feel more like it's locked into the groove. You can also add gate, auto pan in rhythmic mode, or beat repeat for glitchy tension. Beat repeat can be especially useful if you set the grid to 1/16 or 1/8. Keep the interval at 1 or 2 bars, and use a low chance with a little variation. That gives you a broken, frantic pre-drop texture that feels very at home in jungle and harder DNB styles. Now a teacher note here, keep your motion layered, not stacked. It's tempting to make every macro do everything, but that often turns into blur instead of control. Let one macro handle pitch, another handle filter, another handle width, and so on. Keep the roles clear. If a macro doesn't have a real purpose, don't force it into the rack. Also, think about the way the build feels psychologically. Even if the actual MIDI note timing stays constant, the rise can still feel like it's speeding up if modulation depth increases, the filter opens, and the stereo field expands. That's a really important advanced idea. The brain hears motion and interprets it as acceleration. At this stage, it's worth checking the mix. Make sure there's no unnecessary low end below about 120 to 200 Hz. Make sure the reverb isn't washing over the drop. Keep an eye on width so the riser doesn't collapse in mono. And if the peaks get wild, use utility or a limiter to keep things under control. Now, if you want to take this further, resample the riser to audio once the automation feels right. This is a huge pro move. Once it's printed, you can reverse sections, trim the tail, add fades, or chop little pieces to build even more custom transitions. Jungle Production especially benefits from this kind of resampling workflow because it gives you more freedom to edit the waveform like an instrument.